everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Hearthstone Deck Tech, where we talk about the different archetypes and different things in the game of Hearthstone, as well as interviews with different players and content creators. And today we have something a little different. Usually we interview top legend players, and that's always pretty cool, or content creators. But today I got a special guest. I got Shane from New Zealand. Shane, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Keen. Great to be here.
So Shane and I, we have an interesting story, right? So we're in a Facebook group, a Hearthstone-like Facebook group, a mentorship group. And, you know, we've communicated back and forth on there and over like the past couple months, right? I would say like 2 months. And, you know, yep. Shane has kind of developed into a pretty strong Hearthstone player. Shane, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, just not about Hearthstone, but I mean, I guess other games you played or other activities and hobbies that you have.
Yeah, sure. So I started out my card game sort of career or hobby in a way. You know, I want to make it into both, but with Magic the Gathering. A friend of mine sort of introduced me to it when I was a bit younger. Just got playing that, and just it was a big part of my life to begin with. And then I took a break from it, and then a friend of mine just showed me this card game on his phone, and I just could not get enough of it. it just took me by storm, and I haven't been able to put it down for like the last sort of 2 years. And you know, I haven't been able to play as much as I want, but in the time that I've played, I've felt I've sort of made a few leaps and bounds in what I want to achieve.
So what expansion do you remember starting to play Hearthstone in?
It was like Mean Streets of Gadgetzan and the Whispers of the Old Gods. I remember opening those packs, and maybe the one set before that, but I just can't remember the name. But yeah, somewhere around that time period.
Did you at the time, did you have like a favorite deck or card or something that you like to play or build around?
Well, I really liked the different versions of C'Thun. C'Thun Warrior was my absolute favorite. Just tank yourself up, make your C'Thun huge, and just drop it down for the win. And I'd never seen anything like that in a card game before, and it just sort of was like, wow, I want to play this like all the time. This is just so much fun to pull this combo off. Just got hooked on doing that.
Were you free to play when you start? Or I mean, are you still free to play when you started? Or
I currently still have not purchased a single like pre-expansion bundle. Mm-hmm. I have done the mini purchases, you know, just anything new that they sort of release with a few card backs, maybe. I think it was about $15 New Zealand, but it's quite expensive over here. And I you know, I'm a pretty good grinder. I've played RuneScape for maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, and you learn how to grind in that game. So getting money in Hearthstone is just, it's not that hard, and it's something that I've done really well. I mean, I've saved up 6,200 gold for the next 6 already, and I've got my 3 free packs, and you know, I've got 65 packs sitting there ready for expansion day, plus I still got to do my quest from tonight, so there might even be a little bit more gold available. And you know, the key with free-to-play is to just maximize your opportunity. And I've got a few good mates who give me their 80 gold friend quests, and that really does make a big difference.
Definitely. Oh, that's awesome. That's crazy. I mean, you know, the thing with free-to-play, too, is, like, it's so restrictive in terms of what you're able to build, because, you know, any gold you have, it's a huge investment, like, in what you decide to craft or create, or, you know, if you're just opening packs or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely made a few mistakes in the past. Dusted a few legendaries that I shouldn't have when I first played it. You know, you do feel it when you're trying to recover from that. But I've done a lot of research, and I've got a good plan in place, put it that way, you know. So I'm doing quite well. And I think, you know, when my personal situation, financial-wise, gets better, I think I'll invest into Hearthstone. But, you know, I think that at the moment, I'm just going to ride out what I'm doing now and just maximizing free to play as much as possible and getting as far as I can. But it's going to get to that point where I want to be able to go to legend, and I think it's just going to be a matter of maybe putting a bit of money into it. So we'll just have to see how I go, but I want to try and get it free to play.
So yeah, you mentioned that you're still on the climb, you want to get to legend eventually. What has your progression in the game been like you know, where have you been stuck or made big leaps and bounds in terms of ladder progress, I guess?
Well, look, over the past 8 weeks since me and you started talking, and that I think I was what I'd hit maybe rank 10, which was the best I possibly have done. And the month prior to that, like the best I was hitting was 15, and I just wasn't quite breaching that rank 10 bracket. Mm-hmm. And then you reviewed some games for me and sent me some feedback, and I just absorbed what you said like a sponge and just applied what you had said to the game and just started understanding more about my own decision making and what the right move is at the right time, and you know, what's a good matchup, what's a bad matchup. I started focusing on one deck as well too. That was, I think, a big thing. I chose Bomb Hunter. I had a high win rate and I felt like I liked playing Hunter and I could do it. Mm-hmm. And so I just honed my skills on that one particular deck. I mean, it got boring after a while, but I just keep going. And then I found myself in that first month, after talking to you, I managed to hit rank 4, which was the highest I've ever achieved. And it was just, you know, the satisfaction I got from opening that chest at the end of the month was fantastic. And, you know, the last month I got rank 5. Didn't quite hit rank 4, but I didn't play as much as I did in previous months. So, you know, it makes sense. And this month as well, too, I'm strongly confident that I'm going to hit rank 5 consistently, just due to those, you know, that little bit of training you gave me. Gave me a little bit of support as well too. It made me sort of believe in myself more as a player.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. Like, it was so funny because remember it's like the Facebook group thing is so random. It's just kind of like there, you know, like little mentorship program.
I was looking for the right mentor and I saw you and I read what you had written. And I read like everyone else, and I was like, these people just don't even think they take this seriously. And I thought, this guy actually takes this shit seriously, so I'm going to like message him.
So, but I mean, it was dope, like, you know, and honestly, cause, you know, you never know what will happen. Like, you could get coached and, like, you know, maybe it doesn't click or whatever. But, and, you know, to be fair, I didn't review many games. I only reviewed, like, 3 or 4 games, you know, gave you a couple, like, resources you could look at. But you, like, took to that as, like, a sponge, you know, you were on it, you know, you researched, you studied. And, like, I mean, that clearly shows, like, how just a little bit of advice and outside input can have a great effect on your understanding of the game. And it's pretty wild to think that your highest you ever hit was rank 10, and then you went to rank 5 consistently for the next 2 months, right? Which is a big step.
Yeah, I mean, it is. The other thing too, I think it was just knowing that you've got someone there to bounce an idea off or tell how they're going, and like, you know, you're into the game as much as I am, and it's important to have that sort of passion for me, especially because I love people who are passionate about things. I get really passionate, and to know that I can message you and just be like part of the mentorship program, be like, hey, this is how I'm going, can you look at this for me? And the fact that we just have that I suppose just online connection, and you're in another country, it's freaking awesome.
I know,
it's and
wild.
We just met recently. It's cool.
I know, so when I go to
I encourage anyone else program.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if you guys want to join it. It's like a Hearthstone mentorship program on Facebook. You can just find the group. It's pretty cool. You're not the only person I mentored on that program or coached. There's a couple other people, but you know, their mileage varies, of course, too. You know, like I think no matter what you want to be good at, like if you want to be better at something, you have to make the vested effort to try to be better. And like, you know, you definitely did. And you definitely are a lot better. So, so now we're gonna hit Legend. So you know, the next goal is Legend. Like, you know what I mean? Now there's a new expansion. There's like new stuff. Like it's time to push. You know, to mess around with new things and then make the move to Legend, which I'm sure you can hit. So,
yeah. One of my favorite times in the inspection when the expansion comes out is like the first few weeks when everyone's just playing jank. It's like just freaking awesome. It's just a chaos pit out there. No one knows what to do. Everyone's just playing these random crazy ideas, and then you just see the dust fall and you just pick up what you like and just learn it really well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, typically, like, you know, when I'm like really tryharding, as soon as the expansion comes out, I play the strongest, most efficient deck pre-expansion. So usually those are usually like a really aggressive type of strategy, like Token Druid or something, because it always has a consistent opener. Or like Miracle Rogue, just because Miracle Rogue is so powerful in that type of matchup. But Because that's how you get like easy levels, because everyone's like, you know, trying something new and messing around, trying new ideas, seeing new synergies. But if you just play something efficient and really like linear, like it's easy wins, but that can get boring. But what was I gonna mention to you? What was I gonna say? So a new expansion is coming out. We talked a little bit about like what cards we're looking forward to. What cards were you looking forward to the most?
In particular, I just really like the idea of the Highlander decks where you only have one copy of, you know, everything in it. You get a good bonus from that. I particularly like the Hunter one because I can have two King Crushers in the deck.
Yeah.
Pretty sick, you know, and I just love doing some crazy combos like that, you know. But one deck I really wanted to sink my teeth into and play was Cyclone Mage. So I'd be interested to see how it is with Reno in the deck, you know, some kind of like, you know, single Highlander Cyclone Mage. I've seen a few theory crafts out there, and it'd be quite interesting, you know. Just puts a big variety in the deck. Also, chucking a quest in there too. Why not? Run all the new mechanics.
There you go. Did you play when the first Reno Jackson was around?
No, but as soon as I found out about the League of Explorers, I went back in time on YouTube and had a look at what the meta was like back then. It was like, wow.
Bro, it was super sick. Like, you know, like the thing is, Reno decks, like, you trade off the power of one single card for the lack of consistency in the rest of the deck, right? Because if you play something that's aggressive, you have 15 pairs of cards, you know, to double the chances of drawing certain things at certain times. But if you are playing singletons, you know, you've cut the chances with those particular cards in half. So it'll be interesting to see, like, how strong these particular Highlander singleton cards are. And they are pretty strong. I mean, you know, like the one that makes, that gives you a card based on the situation, like, that is pretty nuts. So it'll be interesting to see how strong those cards are.
Yeah, I think another deck that would be worth mentioning would be the new Taunt Warrior. I think that is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, it's the wild west right now. Like, anything could be good, you know, or will be good. And you know, it's kind of weird. Like, I think in the age of the internet, metas develop like really quickly. Which is good, right? Because deck ideas get refined pretty fast. But I think experimentation kind of dies really quickly, too. Because once, like...
It does... you're right.
Yeah, like, once a deck comes out, or once, like, four or five good decks come out, people are just like, oh, this is... guy played this to Legend. This is the best deck. So then they just net deck it, and they just start playing that without really opening up into new ideas. And I think, like, if you, especially the wild community, is all about experimentation, and like they're really, really good wild deck builders. You know, I hope this new expansion really like blows it out, because I just don't want to see Bomb Warrior every game. You know, I don't want to see that. Like, I don't want to see like 50% of my matches being Cyclone Mage. Like, I don't want that. You know what I mean? I want to see some new stuff. Heal Druid.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, that it got a bit stale with that tournament, you know. I watch all the Hearthstone tournaments, and that one most recent one where they played Specialist, it was just one class. Like, I'm glad they've gotten rid of it. It's so much better seeing someone bring four decks, you know. The meta was bigger before Specialist, you know what I mean? But then recently I'm seeing this Heal Druid on the ladder, and it just came out of nowhere. I mean, like, yes, it was around, but no one was playing it. And all of a sudden, it just became good overnight, almost.
I'm gonna try it out. I haven't seen that deck. I'm gonna actually build that tonight. Maybe mess with that.
I ran into it and was like, "What am I supposed to do here? There's just no way through." And you know, I imagine the people playing it, like, I got them down really low health, and you're within, like, you know, Hero Power and a Bomb Toss and a Leroy away, and then all of a sudden the board's filled with Taunt Minions. I can't get... Okay, yeah, sweet ass. Oh, I'm just going to heal up and, you know, play more of these guys.
What was I gonna say? You know, you mentioned earlier that you want to make the push to legend and things, and how it's helpful to have someone to communicate with to kind of like give you reassurance to as you make the climb. And that was always like before I hit the legend the first time, that was the number one like obstacle for me, was whether or not I could really do it. Because I would hit like rank two or rank three, and I'm playing like a handful of games a day, but in my mind I'm like, I haven't hit legend, and I don't know if I'm playing enough games or if I'm good enough to hit it with the amount of games that I play. And it wasn't until I got like a coach, like someone else to like watch the games and be like, yeah, bro, you're gonna hit it. Just keep playing, So I think that's a big important point that you made about like, having reassurance from the outside that you're gonna accomplish a goal, It was definitely one of the biggest things for me, so.
It's gonna play a big part in my climb as well. So, and you're right. I'm exactly where you were. I'm like, am I playing enough games? Is this gonna happen for me? But the thing is, we have that mentorship going. So it's like, I feel I will make it. So
Yeah, you
it's.
will, man. You will. I and honestly, like hitting legend is a byproduct of your improvement as a player and your win rate, right? So, if you're playing 60, you're winning 60% of the games, you're gonna hit it, in this many games. If you're winning 55% of the games, it's gonna take you considerably more games to hit it, right? But you will hit it, you're gonna get there. So, it's just a matter of playing at the highest percentage you can, because you can't win all the games. Like, there's RNG, there's luck. But you can just limit the amount of times you make mistakes. So, I'm excited. I'm excited to see how well you do. I actually haven't been playing on the ladder like almost at all. So I think my account's like rank 11 or something. I gotta at least get to rank 10. Like, it's pretty wild. Like rank 11, that's the lowest I've ever been in like, I don't know, a while. But so what other classes or decks are you looking to
I have some.
towards playing?
Sorry, I think am I in?
Yeah, you're
No,
here,
I'm
you're
good.
here.
Sweet. Look, honestly, I'm excited to see that something new come out from this next set, and I'll crack open my 60, maybe if I can get it close to 70, I'll be pretty happy. My 70 odd packs on the day, I'll be quickly looking at what legendaries I have and throwing something together, and just mucking around with it and just seeing how I go and. They're just keeping a close eye on what other people are playing and just work out what I'm going to use because I don't think I'm going to be hitting Legend this month, but in the following two, once things settle a bit and I can really put my head down, I reckon I'll make it within that period and we'll just have to really see. But I really do want to play like a really big Hunter deck,
There
just
you
like
go.
how Hunter used to be, with the Devilsaur eggs and just. Triggering big stuff and cheating out big minions, I love that
So,
stuff.
out of all the cards spoiled, like, what are the two cards that, or like, what's the card that you hope you pull in your 70 packs? And what is the card that, on paper, just like at a glance, you think looks the most broken?
I just have to Google the name of it right now.
No worries, no worries. I don't know any of the names of them. So,
Oh, I know. It was the one that you get to wish for a card. Like you play it and it gives you a card based on the
the
situation that
Zephyr or
you're in.
something, right?
Yeah, like that's just insane. Like I really love stuff like that. It's like rolling Huffer all the time when you're trying to play Animal Companion, It's like it just gives you the best outcome for what your situation is. And that's a new touch to the game that we really haven't had before. I mean, sometimes the game's nice here, sometimes it's not, but in this case, if you play this card, it's giving you an upper hand almost,
Yeah, it's pretty wild. That's a pretty wild card.
I mean, look, we've got stuff here like cast 10 random spells for mage, I mean, that's going to cause a bit of hectic chaos, the new druid quest, that's the other one. You have to leave your mana like up. And sort of end your turn with none played to trigger it. I mean, yes, it's quite interesting. And then you choose one card to have both things combined. I mean, we've all played Keeper's Duet, Steledris, and Token Druid, and you've seen how powerful he is when you even just get one extra power of the wild, or you get the raptors, summon the raptors, and give a minion plus taunt. You know, just having two of any card that you played out, it's just such a strong combination, you know. So it might be a bit slow getting off, but that deck could, you know, potentially see some play. You know? Quest Druid. Just, you know, fun stuff to look forward to anyway.
That Zephyr card, I forgot what it's called, something of Zephyrs, like that card you were talking about. You know what I like, too, is, well, I'm on the fence, because I don't really know. I think it's going to be good. Obviously, it's going to do, the game AI is going to try its best to give you, like, the best possible out. But the only thing is, like, how strong really is the game AI? And I figure it's got to be pretty strong, right? Like, if there's a way to get lethal, it's going to give you lethal, right? Or if there's a way to clear the board, it'll clear the board.
I heard it was like, you know, if you needed a board clear, you could rely on that card. And for an aggro deck, sometimes you need a board clear. You know, I mean, I play aggro decks mainly. And then, you know, when you play up against another aggro deck and they have a board clear, you know, that is just really painful sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Having one on as you as a player against them, it just puts you at such a bigger advantage, you know? And the thing is with board clears, it's like, you know, sometimes you might not want to run that particular one in your deck, but having a card that is a body plus pulls you a spell, you know, think Ethereal Lackey, it's a bloody good card, you know? Just something similar along those lines, just more value. Love value.
Yeah, super strong. And you know, like, it always gives you an answer, right? So, like, maybe you don't even know what the answer is. And it gives you, like, all answers. And, like, you know, then you can, like, be like, oh, I got this card. So, I mean, it must be telling me that there's this line of play or something, which is pretty wild. That's pretty strong, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, you'll be just discovering those hidden lethal combos and putting stuff together you might not normally figure out, you know. And I learned a lot of doing that from watching the guys play in the tournaments and things like that. I watch so much. I watch it religiously, like at work, you know. If I work in a call center, you see, so it's quite easy for me to get away watching a bit and on the side in between calls, you know. And so I just have Hearthstone up all the time and just be like, cool, I watch it at work, come home, you know, eat food, and then just jump on, play, do my quest, put together what I've learned, message Ken, find out what the play, how he's going, find out where I'm going, you know, what's happening. And then just, I was pretty much just living and breathing house and for like the last 2 months, you know, just to take it
in. That's awesome. So, hey, man, like, you know, final thoughts, like, what advice would you give to, like, players who are free to play? You know, or, you know, maybe they're not spending hard on a game or whatever, but they're looking to improve from whatever point they're at in the game. Like, what advice would you give those players?
Number one, I would say join the mentorship or have a friend who you can bounce ideas off and, you know, to keep you motivated as well as you helping them out too. Secondly, being a free-to-play player, your quests are so important. Find out what time they come out. Make sure you complete them every night and try and get as many wins as possible to collect those extra 10 pieces of gold. And the other one too, don't spend your money between expansions. Just save it. Just save it all because you can buy so many more cards when it comes out. The other one I just want to say is just keep doing it because it will happen for you. And lastly is just make sure that you just look out for those ways where you can improve on your play and not make the same mistake you made in the last match because that can hold you back.
Great, man. Thank you, Shane. Thank you for jumping on the show. Really appreciate it. It's fun. And I'm excited to see you hit Legend soon, man.
Cool. Thanks so much, Ken, for having me. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thank you.